Welcome to Agency of the Month, brought to you by Panasonic Solutions Company on Federal News Radio 1500 AM.
I'm Ruben Gomez. My guest is Tony Placido, Chief of Intelligence for the Drug Enforcement Administration. Mr. Placido, I'd like to start these interviews with a very basic question. What is your role within the DEA?
Well, Ruben, I serve as the Assistant Administrator and Chief of Intelligence for the agency. And in that capacity, I serve as the Senior Advisor to the DEA Administrator on all matters relating to intelligence. Represent the agency within the U.S. intelligence community and before the National Security and Homeland Security Councils.
And how would you say that role furthers the DEA's mission?
Well, drug trafficking and enforcement of laws relating to drug trafficking are somewhat different, and we can distinguish them from other law enforcement roles. In traditional law enforcement, you have sort of a responsive mode in which a crime is committed, the victim contacts the police, and the police respond and initiate an investigation. In drug law enforcement, if a willing seller and a willing purchaser agree to do a narcotics transaction and they're successful, no one calls the police. And so we start with the presumption that somebody is engaged in criminal activity, and we have to begin identifying who those people are, how they're operating, and how we're going to gather evidence against them. So intelligence is really at the very core of the kinds of investigations that DEA is involved in.
What exactly is your jurisdiction within the intelligence office?
Well, the Drug Enforcement Administration is a global enterprise with 81 foreign offices and 227 domestic offices. And each of those offices, whether domestic or foreign, has an intelligence component in it, as an integral part of the criminal investigations that we conduct.
Now, the president recently asked Congress for extra money for border security, including money to hire DEA agents. Does this affect the Office of Intelligence directly, or is this a more general hiring push?
No, it does, and I think one of the points of confusion among some people that don't truly understand the nature of this business is that our special agents are really an integral part of the intelligence program. Many people think of the intelligence program in terms of strictly analysis of information that's acquired, but before you can analyze that information, you have to gather it first. And those special agents, the 5,000 plus special agents and the 2,700 deputized state and local officers who are on our task forces, are the principal collectors of the information that DEA uses to build these cases, and are a very important part of the intelligence collection enterprise and the overall collection, the overall intelligence architecture.
Now, how does your budget fit into DEA's overall budget?
The intelligence budget is just over $100 million, which I guess in comparison with the overall budget is relatively small. Our global budget with reimbursables is just over $2 billion, about $2.4 billion.
Going back to the borders, the Mexican border specifically, can you tell me a little bit more about how your intelligence helps agents stop drug trafficking?
Well, yeah, I guess the first thing I'd like to do, Ruben, is sort of recast the question, because we at the Drug Enforcement Administration are not really focused on the border per se. I mean, the border is one place in a continuum that goes from source country to the distribution markets inside the United States. So while we're concerned about the border, we really believe that what we're looking at is defense in depth. And so we're running investigations that try and go back to the kingpins, the people who organize, direct, finance, and control a transnational drug business, and who have to communicate with one another over great distances and facilitate the transportation of contraband drugs in one direction and the cash proceeds of those drug sales in the opposite direction. And so we're involved at all aspects of that, but one of the things that we do, very critical, is the El Paso Intelligence Center, located on the border in El Paso, Texas. And we run a 24/7 watch operation, which is designed to pass time-sensitive tactical information to law enforcement officers and make sure that the information that we do have gets to the right people at the right time so they can use it for a law enforcement purpose.
So what other federal, state, and local agencies are you involved with?
Basically, all of them is the short answer. We, at the international level, have more people in foreign countries than any other U.S. law enforcement organization. And, of course, in Mexico, that includes 13 offices in the country of Mexico and a number of people there. We work with the PGR and the SSP and SINAPI and CISEN and several Mexican agencies. Here in the United States, at the federal level, we work with DHS and its component agencies, Customs and Border Protection, and the Border Patrol, Immigration and Customs Enforcement, FBI, ATF, U.S. Marshals, and the whole gamut of federal agencies. And then in addition to that, we've got very long-standing and robust relationships with our state and local counterparts. And as I previously mentioned, we've got more than 2,000 of them who are permanently assigned to DEA under agreements to serve as task force officers in a force multiplier effect.
So you've got quite a wide-ranging set of relationships there, huh?
Yes, we do.
Well, playing off of that, can you tell me what it's like to work with that varied spectrum of federal, state, and local agencies? How do you achieve that mission that you're trying to accomplish effectively?
I think the key to managing those relationships is to put the relationships first. In other words, individual criminal investigations, cases, if you will come and go, but we have to be more concerned about the relationships with our law enforcement partners than we are about particular cases. And that's the underlying theme, I think, of DEA's strong law enforcement relationships. A couple of other things that really help on that is domestically in particular, we have laws that allow us to seize and forfeit the proceeds of criminal activity and then to share that those proceeds with our state and local police counterparts. And so one of the things that we're able to do is enlist the help of state and local officers in these criminal investigations and then reward them when we're successful and forfeit the proceeds of this criminal activity so that they can reinvest it back into their budgets to do more counter-narcotics work. We also end up giving them, by virtue of deputizing them as task force officers, we provide them with jurisdiction to conduct investigations beyond their traditional jurisdiction, whether that may be a city or a state, and then provide some of the resources and the infrastructure that's necessary to conduct investigations which are larger in scope than some of these small departments might otherwise be able to do.
Now, you mentioned information sharing during that answer. How important is information sharing for your mission?
Well, it's really the key to everything that we do here at DEA, and I would say that's the centerpiece of our intelligence program. As I mentioned, drug trafficking is a transnational enterprise, and individual investigations in different parts of the United States conducted by different agencies and conducted all around the world by our foreign partners each provide pieces to the puzzle. And it's only when we share this information and put those pieces together to form the composite and really understand our criminal adversary that we're successful. DEA has really mastered this, if I could use that term, in what we call these multi-agency, multi-jurisdiction investigations that we've been doing for more than 20 years now through our Special Operations Division, identifying seemingly disparate investigations or parts of investigations and then pulling together the relevant players so that we can do a single coordinated operation that identifies and attacks the entire organization rather than one piece of it.
What would you say have been the biggest obstacles that you've overcome to effective information sharing, breaking down those stovepipes?
Well, clearly the single biggest obstacle is that the information that we use in these investigations is very hard to come by. And there's a great deal of effort and sweat equity that's put into developing informants, running wiretap operations, running undercover agents, and because the information is so difficult to come by, there's a reluctance by many people to sharing this information, and the fear is that somehow we're going to kill the goose that's laying the golden eggs. So we've had to build in systems that safeguard this information sharing. And the basic recipe is that we have a limited number of people who have unfettered access to the information, but they've also got very severe restrictions placed on what they can do with that information and when they can do something with it. And there's a forcing function that requires us to coordinate and deconflict our activities before we act on information.
My guest is Tony Placido, Chief of Intelligence for the Drug Enforcement Administration. Time for a quick break. I'm Ruben Gomez. You're listening to Agency of the Month, Federal News Radio, 1500 AM.
Now's a great time to purchase the most reliable mobile computer in the industry. Make your budget dollars count with Panasonic ToughBook rugged and reliable mobile computers that won't let you down. Built with extreme quality control in Panasonic's factory, ToughBook computers consistently achieve industry-leading uptime. Simply put, they keep working. Panasonic ToughBook computers meet all your needs wherever your job takes you. Call 1-877-52-RUGGED for details.
Welcome back to Agency of the Month on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. I'm Ruben Gomez. My guest is Tony Placido, Chief of Intelligence for the Drug Enforcement Administration. Mr. Placido, you run something called the Global Collection Enterprise. Can you tell me what that is?
Yes, it's a way of describing DEA's efforts to gather systematically information on drug trafficking globally. And that would include our human source network, informants, if you would, from our 81 offices located outside the United States and our 227 offices domestically. Would also include information gathering that is done through communications exploitation, and that would be wiretaps or Title III intercepts, court-authorized interception of communication here in the United States, and work that we do with our counterparts outside of the country, and other classified programs that we're involved in order to gather information that is relevant to the trafficking of illicit drugs towards the United States.
You led efforts to readmit the DEA into the intelligence community. Why was that so important to you?
Well, clearly there is an altruistic motive to this. In the wake of 9/11 and the terrorist attacks on the United States, we believed and continue to believe that DEA has something to offer, that with our large domestic and global footprint and our intelligence gathering capabilities, even though we remain focused on drug trafficking, we frequently find ourselves gathering information that has significance to the national security. And that is those same shadow facilitators who are involved in transportation and document forgery and money laundering. As we've seen over the last several years, using the narcotics trade as a vehicle to fund terrorism and extremism. So there's the altruistic motive that we believe that we could do something to help and contribute to the national security by being part of the intelligence community. And the other thing, on a more practical level, was the concern that we didn't want to wait until there was another 9/11-like event and then have somebody pushing us into the intelligence community in a way that wasn't well thought out and that might actually undermine our abilities to do our jobs as a law enforcement organization.
I want to change gears a bit here and talk about technology. What role does technology play in the Office of Intelligence for the DEA?
Well, I think if we had to sort of take stock and inventory what our greatest advantages are against these well-financed transnational criminal organizations, we would certainly have to take note of the fact that processing power and bandwidth would be among those advantages that we have. And so our ability to share information, to move that information globally, and then process huge data sets in order to develop leads and further criminal investigations has become critically important in 2010. It used to be that we never had enough information. We frequently find ourselves now with so much information that the challenge is being able to sort through it and really identify those pieces that are of critical significance.
And how do you do that?
Well, typically the way that we end up doing it is we have to use very powerful search engines, and in addition to that, we really have to have a very extensive network of informants, communications intercept capabilities that really work as a pointer index to tell us where we think key vulnerabilities are, and then through the information sharing, how best to exploit those in a coordinated fashion.
I also want to change gears now again to management. You've got a pretty large organization. You mentioned earlier your overall budget for the intelligence office alone is over $100 million. What is your management style, and what's the key to good management of all of these people and all of these resources?
Well, clearly, we have to have strong managers and good leaders in the organization in order to manage a distributed organization such as DEA has. And I think, you know, having given this much thought over the years, I think the key to DEA success has been that we are centrally managed, but we have a distributed architecture that allows the execution of those plans to be done at the local level. And that is to say that we've got to hire, train, and empower our leaders to act independently, but within parameters that are set here in Washington. It simply really couldn't work any other way. The idea that some organizations have where they're going to micromanage from Washington really doesn't work. If you're conducting a surveillance on the street, you can't be calling back to Washington, do I follow the white car or the blue car? So I think this is a recipe that we've learned over many years, and that is to develop our leaders and then to trust them and hold them accountable for making good decisions.
My guest is Tony Placido, Chief of Intelligence for the Drug Enforcement Administration. Time for a quick break. I'm Ruben Gomez. You're listening to Agency of the Month on Federal News Radio 1500 AM.
Now's a great time to purchase the most reliable mobile computer in the industry. Make your budget dollars count with Panasonic ToughBook rugged and reliable mobile computers that won't let you down. Built with extreme quality control in Panasonic's factory, ToughBook computers consistently achieve industry-leading uptime. Simply put, they keep working. Panasonic ToughBook computers meet all your needs wherever your job takes you. Call 1-877-52-RUGGED for details.
Welcome back to Agency of the Month on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. I'm Ruben Gomez. My guest is Tony Placido, Chief of Intelligence for the Drug Enforcement Administration. Mr. Placido, what are some of your most notable successes for the intelligence office?
Well, there have been many successes with regards to our organizational attack strategy. And let me just say that, you know, we're under no misapprehension that law enforcement alone is the answer to the drug problem in the United States. We believe that there must be education and prevention and demand reduction programs, but within the sphere of the business that the DEA is responsible for, we think we've done quite a good job at attacking the command and control of these criminal organizations through a very systematic process. And if you look at what we've done in the last 2 to 3 years against the Mexican drug trafficking organizations, things like Project Reckoning, Operation Accelerator, Operation Coronado, and most recently Operation Deliverance, we've seized nearly, actually more than $500 million in profit, several hundred metric tons of drugs, and arrested well beyond 1,500 defendants in those operations, including some of the most significant violators operating in Mexico and the United States. So the ability to go after the so-called untouchables, the people who had used massive amounts of money to bribe and undermine government officials in many cases, and used violence and intimidation when that didn't work, to bring these people to justice is a major accomplishment in and of itself, and we think actually goes beyond the impact of the case, which holds them individually responsible, and helps contribute to the loftier goal of promoting respect for the rule of law and promoting regional stability.
And this is the part of the show where I ask you, what news can you break on this show? What innovative plans do you have for the coming year, coming years maybe, that really excite you?
Well, what I would say on that front is that we have had a series of discussions with our counterparts at the Department of Homeland Security, and I would say that I'm very pleased with the trend, the direction that we're moving in right now in terms of bringing even closer together the unique capabilities and capacities of the Department of Justice and the Department of Homeland Security to close some of those seams that are used by these transnational criminals. And I think that together, both DHS and DOJ and with our partners in DOD, we're going to be even more effective as we move into the coming year.
Do you have any plans for hiring in the coming year?
We are hiring. We're hiring intelligence research specialists and special agents. It remains to be seen in 2012 and beyond what the implications of the budget will be, but we're still looking now, and we're looking for a few good men and women.
What are you looking for in an ideal candidate?
Well, in the Intelligence Research Specialist series, we are looking for people who have broad backgrounds. Languages and proficiency in languages are always a plus. People with area studies in places like the Far East, Middle East, Central Asian Republics, and Russia, much in demand right now. And people with specific technical skills, such as geospatial intelligence and advanced computational computer skills, are in great demand now.
Is there anything that we have not covered that you would like to add to the program?
I think you've done a pretty comprehensive job. I guess the last thing that we might talk about just for a minute is Mexico and where we're going in terms of the cooperation with that country. And I would just like to wrap it up by saying that we have seen truly exceptional cooperation from the Calderon administration and his government, and it's really made a meaningful difference. One of the things that we've been able to do here at DEA is to measure in a tangible way the impact of that cooperation, and we are now nearly 3 years into a period of sustained increased prices and decreased purity of cocaine entering the United States, which at least in part is the result of Mexico's renewed emphasis on law enforcement. And so it's a very good news story.
That brings us to the end of this week's Agency of the Month. My guest has been Tony Placido, Chief of Intelligence for the Drug Enforcement Administration. I'm Ruben Gomez. Thanks for joining us.
You've been listening to Agency of the Month, brought to you by the Panasonic Solutions Company on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. If you missed any part of this program, you can hear it in its entirety on our website, federalnewsradio.com. Agency of the Month, Thursday mornings at 11:30 a.m. only on Federal News Radio 1500 AM, your source for federal news now.